Taiwan is the crisis America cannot afford to miss. Commentary. On March 3 and March 5, Undersecretary of War Elbridge Colby appeared before the Senate and House Armed Services Committees. In both sessions, lawmakers asked the same question: what is the current state of America's ability to defend Taiwan? In the Senate, Colby said he would follow up with the committee with specific details. 48 hours later, in the House, members pointedly noted that this was the same answer given 2 days earlier, and that nothing concrete had followed. The Pentagon's new national defense strategy does not specifically mention Taiwan. Congress had already shown its concern by tying 25% of Pentagon travel funding to the delivery of a credible 5-year Taiwan defense roadmap. That plan has not been delivered. The war has. Why Taiwan, and why Arizona is not the answer. For decades, U.S. strategists have described Taiwan as an unsinkable aircraft carrier dominating the Western Pacific. The island anchor sea lanes, intelligence networks, and regional deterrence. It is also a democracy of 23 million people, and the world's primary source of the most advanced semiconductors on which the American economy and military increasingly depend. The most common rejoinder, that TSMC's Arizona facility has already secured America's semiconductor future, does not survive contact with production data. Arizona currently manufactures on a 4-nanometer process. Taiwan's Kaohsiung facility began mass-producing the much more advanced 2-nanometer chips in January 2026 using an architecture no other foundry can match at volume. The U.S. Commerce Secretary acknowledged in January that 95% of the chips America depends on are still made there. Advanced packaging, the critical final assembly step for weapons guidance systems and AI accelerators, remains almost entirely in Taiwan, a 5 to 7 year capability gap that no Arizona investment has yet begun to close. The loss of Taiwan would not be a regional setback. It would be a civilizational one, disrupting the technology supply chain on which modern economies and militaries depend, shifting the Indo-Pacific balance of power for decades, and extinguishing a democracy that chose its own future. A crisis would not wait for any transition to finish, it would end it on day one. Strategic trade-offs, high-end weapons, finite stockpiles. While Washington focuses on the current campaign, it is expending the very capabilities a Taiwan defense would require. Precision weapons, Tomahawks, Patriot interceptors, THAAD systems, long-range air-launched missiles, are being consumed at rates that strain inventories built over decades. The production response cannot match the consumption rate on any near-term timeline. The Trump administration announced framework agreements with major defense contractors to quadruple the output of key interceptor systems, a genuine signal of intent. But framework agreements are not contracts, contracts are not components, and components are not interceptors. Independent analysts place the full production quadrupling at 7 years, at a minimum. The United States currently produces approximately 11 THAAD interceptors per month. Closing that gap requires sustained investment across the defense industrial base, which cannot be ordered to scale overnight. Iran's operational pattern compounds the challenge. Cheaper systems appear to have been deployed first, forcing high-value interceptors against low-cost targets at exchange ratios that favor the attacker. Iran's more advanced solid-fuel missiles are now appearing in greater numbers as the initial wave subsides. Underground facilities hardened into mountain geology have proved resilient to past campaigns. The attrition of Iranian capability is real. What remains is also real. Pentagon supply chain reviews have flagged critical single-source dependencies in the production of solid rocket fuels and guidance systems. China produces approximately 75% of the world's neodymium iron-boron magnets, the materials on which missile guidance systems, fin actuators, and weapons control surfaces fundamentally depend. These are not abstractions. They are choke points. There is a further circularity worth noting: many of the weapons being fired depend on chips made in Taiwan, the very place these weapons would be needed most in a future conflict. the unintended winners. If these costs were decisively weakening America's primary adversaries, the calculation would look different. The early scorecard points in a different direction. The Russian regime benefits directly. Its 2026 budget was built on an assumed oil price of $59 per barrel, a level it was struggling to maintain before February 28. Russian crude now trades well above that, generating tens of billions in additional annual revenue that funds military operations in Ukraine that the Western alliance has spent 3 years trying to constrain. The Trump administration has considered easing sanctions on Russian oil to bring down global prices, which would enrich Russia while weakening the sanctions architecture designed to isolate it. The Chinese regime maintains a position of strategic comfort. Roughly 40 to 45% of China's oil imports pass through the Strait of Hormuz, a meaningful dependency offset by a strategic petroleum reserve providing 140 to 180 days of import cover, Iranian oil continuing to flow to China, and Russian pipelines running east uninterrupted. Iran is reportedly now considering allowing passage through the strait only for vessels trading in Chinese yuan. China gains leverage it did not previously hold, without firing a shot, without spending a dollar, and without losing a single soldier. Strategic costs at home and among allies. The costs of the Iran war are falling unevenly, and the distribution does not favor the commitments that matter most. Higher energy prices ripple through transportation, manufacturing, and household budgets. The United States is the world's largest oil producer, yet American consumers pay above $5 per gallon in many markets because oil is a global commodity. Domestic production does not insulate households from global supply disruptions. Allies are absorbing compounding pressure. Taiwan, the subject of those unanswered congressional questions, faces a direct energy squeeze, with 21% of its total energy supply from LNG and 26% of that sourced from the Middle East. The Strait of Hormuz closure compresses Taiwan's power generation and industrial base in real time. South Korea accepted that on its soil in 2017 under extraordinary duress. China imposed billions in economic sanctions in retaliation, only to see interceptors redeployed to the Middle East now. Japan, Australia, and others are drawing their own conclusions. Alliances endure. But when the moment came to assemble a coalition to reopen the strait, no country publicly committed forces. China is counting every missile. In planning centers far from public view, People's Liberation Army analysts are doing arithmetic. They are tracking, intercept by intercept, how many THAAD missiles the United States has fired. They are modeling burn rates against known production figures and calculating how long American stockpiles can sustain current operations. PLA analysts are mapping redeployments from the Indo-Pacific and watching the USS Tripoli, a big-deck amphibious assault ship normally based in Japan, sail south past Taiwan through the Luzon Strait toward a different war. Chinese military publications have already issued 5 formal assessments of the campaign within its first week. Beijing has been collecting combat data indirectly since 2022 through Russia's operations in Ukraine, where Chinese components flow into the Russian war machine, providing empirical performance data on Chinese hardware against Western systems. Ukraine was one laboratory. Iran is another. Washington has now provided 2 consecutive real-world demonstrations of how American precision warfare performs under sustained pressure, and where it reaches its limits. China is not simply another regional competitor. It is the only power with the economic scale, industrial capacity, technological ambition, and military modernization program capable of challenging the United States across multiple domains simultaneously. It is a communist regime that holds power through coercion, imprisoning millions for their faith, persecuting Falun Gong practitioners, Uyghurs, Christians, and Tibetans, and silencing every voice that challenges its authority. The Chinese regime is America's primary adversary. And while Washington's attention is elsewhere, those watching eyes are not idle. The current conflict is an extraordinary gift to Beijing, a comprehensive demonstration of American capabilities and constraints, delivered in real time, at no cost, no risk, and no sacrifice on its part, while its own strategic reserves remain intact and its leverage over critical supply chains quietly grows. Declare victory, the next mission cannot wait. If the Trump administration's stated objectives have been achieved, nuclear facilities disrupted, missile production capacity degraded, deterrence against Iranian adventurism restored, then the case for consolidating those gains and pivoting attention is not a counsel of weakness. It is strategic clarity. Declaring victory is not retreat. It is the recognition that the next mission is the one that matters most. The conditions for an exit exist. If Washington chooses to consolidate its gains and stand down, the Strait of Hormuz does not stay closed indefinitely, commerce has its own gravity. In economics as in warfare, the most expensive error is not the initial miscalculation. It is the decision to deepen commitment in order to justify it. The sooner gains are consolidated and attention redirected, the more capacity remains for the commitment that cannot be deferred. Every additional week is not a step toward recovering what was spent. It is a new expenditure against a diminishing return, paid ultimately by the strategic priority that has gone unanswered in two hearing rooms. Don't hand Beijing the golden window. The Chinese Communist Party is not an invincible adversary. It is a system accumulating the contradictions that have brought authoritarian regimes to ruin, demographic collapse, a property crisis destroying household wealth, and institutions hollowed by systemic corruption. The United States does not need to defeat the CCP. It needs only to remain strategically coherent long enough for China to collapse under its own contradictions. That means keeping alliances intact, arsenals capable, and commitments credible, above all, the commitment to Taiwan. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu has said that U.S. involvement allows him to do what he hoped to do for 40 years. The CCP has waited 77 years since the founding of the People's Republic in 1949. Taiwan has been the unfinished revolution, the open wound, the promise deferred. Washington is not obligated to accelerate Beijing's timeline. It is obligated not to hand Beijing the golden window. The hearing room sounded the alarm. Twice. The question is whether the cost of ignoring it, in missiles, in alliances, in Taiwan's narrowing window, and in the strategic advantage accumulating in Beijing, is visible enough yet to change the calculation. For Taiwan's sake, and for America's, it needs to be.